2008, I was living with my mom and my second sister in the countryside. I was growing many things, basically most of things that we are eating on a daily basis, such as sweet potato, sesame, radish, rice, tomato, taro, corn, all kinds of vegetables and all kinds of fruits. Since I was living in the area where few people were living, not much benefit from the government was available. In regard to water, we had to set up our own water system. So did my house. This was the way we got the water. We found a small fountain in the middle of the mountain, which was connected to the huge water tank through small pipes. And we got the water through another small pipe from the huge water tank. Around August in 2008, my area had to suffer drought very severely, and we had no rain for about 5 months. It was one of the toughest times in my entire life, living just with little water. The fountain was completely dried up, and thus the huge water tank was empty. For a while, I could go to my neighbors to get water, but it was not enough. Sometimes I had to call firehouse, not to have them put out fires, but to have them fill up our huge water tank. I was looking for water stream. I was looking for where I can find water in my area, but I was not successful. On top of this, my mom was sick, very sick at this moment. But there was not enough water to cook food, not enough water to clean the house, not enough water to wash dishes, not even enough water to take a bath. I still remember I took a bath with just 5 cups of water in hot summer. And of course, not enough water to flush the toilet, and I had to go outside. I was very frustrated. I was the head of my family, being responsible for my mom and my sister. In the morning, as soon as I woke up, the first thought that came into my mind was water. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Moment by moment, I was thinking about where can I get water. I asked the Lord to give me water. I couldn't find. It seemed like God was away from my family. Unlike me, there is one person in the Bible who responded in a different way in a very similar or even worse situation. Let us turn to Psalm, the book of Psalm chapter 63. The book of Psalms chapter 63. Who wrote Psalm 63? It was David. It was his prayer to God. What is the background of this chapter? We can find in verse 1. It says, O God, you are my God. Only will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. Where was David offering this prayer? The Bible says, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. It was the wilderness in Judea. Why was it in the wilderness? The king Saul was furious and angry at David, fearing that he would be the next king of Israel. The whole nation was agitated to chase after David, to kill him, to get rid of him. On top of this, he was in a place where there is no water. And he had hundreds of people, his family members, his soldiers, and his followers. All the burden was placed upon David, being responsible to take care of hundreds of people. I cannot compare to him since I had just 2 family members to take care of. Nevertheless, how did David start his prayer? He says, God, you are my God. Is God my God? It's easy to believe in my parents' God, my pastor's God, my professor's God, or my teacher's God. But David's saying, God, you're my God. David realized without his personal and intimate connection with God, he couldn't survive at this difficult moment. When did David wake up? It says early in the morning. He must have woken up earlier than any other individuals because he was the leader. Why do you think David woke up early in the morning? Was it because he worried about King Saul's sudden attack? Was it because he worried about water or food or a safe place? Or was it because he wanted to ask God for water or even food or a safe place? No. David could have started his prayer, Lord, we need water. We need a safe place. But that is not what David is asking now. He's seeking God rather than what he desperately needs at the moment. David's thirst and longing for water drove him to seek God more than ever before. His thirst and longing for water was a simple reminder of his urgent need of God's presence. When I'm thirsty, that is a reminder of the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I'm hungry, that is a reminder of God's word. When it stinks of rotten food, that is a reminder that it should be fragrant to the word. When I need more clothes to wear for summer or winter, that is a reminder of Christ's righteousness. When I need shoes to wear, that is a reminder that I'm commissioned to share the gospel. When I need gloves to work, that is a reminder that I have work to do for the needy and for the poor. Our desires are endless. But when we make them reminders of spiritual things, we'll stay faithful to God, even in the midst of difficulties. How did David see God? He thirsts for God and longs for him. When the Bible says, my flesh longs for you, the Hebrew word for long is kama. This word kama is only used here. It means to long for, faint with longing, which implies that David was so much longing for God to the point of fainting. Have you ever fainted? I had a few times in my past. Several times I hit the floor at a dead faint for a short moment because of anemia. When such happened, I couldn't think anything else. Why does David faint? David should have fainted because of the pressure of worry for water. David should have fainted because of King Saul who was trying to kill him. He must have fainted because he had not become a king yet, even if he was anointed a long time ago. But David is faint because he's longing for God. In contrast to that, do you remember what happened to King Saul? When he got rebuked by at least the ghost of Samuel, what happened to him? He was literally faint. What would we choose today? To be faint either by means of evil forces or troubles or problems, or to be faint with longing for God's presence. Students in the seminary are faint because of intense classes in summer session. We are faint because to get a degree, and after get a degree, we need to get a job where there are just few job openings. Even if once we get a job in the local conference and become a pastor, we are faint because we have to report certain amount of money in tithe and because of the baptismal numbers to report to the conference. Pastors are faint because church members are causing problems. But a lot of times it's not church members, but it's the pastors who are not faint with longing for God's presence. I often hear the seminarians are causing many more problems than any other students on campus. What a huge impact we would have if we are faint with longing for God's presence on a daily life. Do we long for God's presence moment by moment? Or do we go to another source to fill our empty hearts like King Saul did? Let us go to verse 2. Verse 2. The Bible says, "So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." David is not mentioning about water. He's not mentioning about food or a safe place. His prayer becomes more specific. He finds God in the sanctuary where he sees God's power and God's glory in the midst of trouble. Why does David want to see God's power at this moment? We know it is God's power who created this earth. It was God's power who brought water in the wilderness when Israel was journeying. It was God's power that rained the manna from heaven in the wilderness. David wants to fill his heart with God's creative power in this moment, believing that God will provide what he needs according to God's time, not our time, because God is never late. Why does David want to see God's glory at this particular moment? We know from Exodus chapter 33 and 34 that God's glory means God's character. When Moses asked God to show his glory, God passes by and proclamation is made that God is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in grace, goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. David beholds God's mercy to be merciful to King Saul. David beholds God's forgiving love to forgive his enemies. David beholds God's long-suffering and patience so that he can wait until God puts him in kingship. And after all, David sees the lamb slain from the foundation of the world in the courtyard. As he looked at it, he received the assurance of salvation. And there is nothing more for him to fear about. Did David look at water? Did David look at food? Did David look at wilderness? The solution to our problems would be resolved not so much by telling our problems to God, but by beholding his power and his glory. The Bible says, after all, by beholding, we are changed. What are we beholding today? By beholding the wilderness where there is no water, we become like dry land like Gilboa, where there is no Spirit of God. By beholding our problems, we face bigger, bigger problems. By beholding our enemies, we become like enemies. When Peter turned away from Jesus and started looking at the wave and winds, what happened to him? He became like the winds and waves, and he sunk. What are we beholding today? I would like to behold Jesus moment by moment. What about you today? In verse 3, the Bible says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." David is not mentioning about food or water, what a safe place. He's not asking that. He's not asking his physical needs. In fact, the entire chapter is just full of praises to God in the midst of difficulty. His prayer becomes more specific. In verse 1, he's longing for God's presence. And in verse 2, he sees God's power and glory. And in verse 3, he sees God's loving care. New Living Translation says, "Your unfailing love is better than life." Now he sees God's unfailing love. He's not seeking for water. He's not seeking for food. He's not seeking for a safe place. But he's seeking for God's loving kindness. Is God's loving kindness better than life to you? Is God's loving kindness better than academic degree? I thought, forget about God's love while I'm studying here. I'm so much caught up with my study, no time to do my ministry. Once I get a degree, get ordained, get a job, then I will practice God's love in my ministry. What about us today? What about us when future is not guaranteed for us? Is God's loving kindness better than my sermon after I preached? I wanted to hear some compliments from my church members. Nothing was said. No words from church members. My heart was irritated. I asked myself, where do I depend? On people's opinion or on God's unfailing love toward me? Is God's loving kindness better than a car? When my sister opened the door where, in a place where she should not open, my door got damaged. The door of my car got damaged. Of course, I was not happy about it. I was angry. My car was more important to me. My car was better than to express God's loving kindness to my sister. Is God's loving kindness better than a house? A decade ago, my house in the countryside was burned up. In one night, my house was gone. It was tough for me and for my family. It was hard for me to express God's love to the person responsible for the fire. But the Bible says God's loving kindness is better than life, a house. Is God's loving kindness better than my health? We might lose our health even if we do all our best to follow God's health laws. Would we still love God? Is God's loving kindness better than my family? When I lost my mom in 2010, then I realized that God's love is better than life. Our life is not everlasting. The life of my family is not everlasting. But His love is everlasting. His unfailing love is everlasting. And because of His love, I can expect to see my mom when Jesus comes back. What is better than life to you? It is Jesus. It is His love. Because of His unfailing love, we can live today with joy and happiness. In verse 3, if I read it again, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. When David realized in this difficult moment, when he realized that God's loving kindness is better than life, he could praise God. Are we experiencing God's loving kindness in our daily life? Are we victorious in our life? The key is experiencing God's loving kindness, His unfailing love. Then we'll stand above our problems and troubles. I want to close my sermon with my story. My mom got severely sick in 2008. And so I had to quit my pastoral work so as to take care of her with my second sister. My mom had to suffer for 2 years until she passed away in 2010. She was really frustrated because she was the one who brought the sick to our house in the countryside and helped them to recover by God's natural means of healing. She was a health reformer and helped them to help many sick to recover and brought many people to live a healthy life. They made her feel more guilty for being sick. She even felt shameful. She was the one who strongly believed that if we followed God's health law, we'll be well. But that was not the case to my mom. As time went by, her condition was getting worse and worse, and her pain was increasing. And there is nothing much that I could do for her. One day, I was reading the book of Psalms, and I came across Psalm chapter 63. And something was hitting me. I realized that God is speaking to me something there. and I read it over and over. Though I didn't have much knowledge as I'm today now, but I'm so excited to find that God's loving kindness is better than life, better than health, better than anything else. And with so much excitement, I ran to my mom. Mom, the Bible says God's loving kindness is better than life. Which is better, being healthy or God's love? Being well or God's mercy? Having no pain or God's unfailing love? And I asked my mom, do you love God? She said, yes. Do you believe that God loves you? She said, yes. Do you believe that God forgave your sins? And she said, yes. And do you believe that God saved you? And she said, yes. Then I told him, Mom, you are on the right track. Look at David in the wilderness. The whole nation was being agitated to chase him, to kill him. But he is full of joy and praises to God. Let us not look at our pain. Let us not behold our pitiful condition. But let us remember our pain and your severe pain. A simple reminder that there is heaven where there is no pain. That is the power. Even if we go through some troubles and illness, pain or death, we have hope because of God's unfailing love. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the wilderness. This whole world is like wilderness. There is no living water that will quench our thirst. There is no tree of life that can provide eternal life. Barren land. And Satan is walking around to kill us, to destroy us. Does that mean that we are hopeless in this world of wilderness? Look at David. Look at David. He was faint with longing for God in the midst of trouble. He believed that God's unfailing love is better than life. What is better to you than life? If it is desire to long for God, even if things go bad, would you please stand with me? If it is desire to behold Jesus Christ moment by moment, even if your situation is getting worse and worse, would you please stand with me? If it is desire to live a life to show that God's loving kindness is better than life, would you please stand with me? I want to close with my prayer. Let us all pray. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift you up, my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Father God, may this be our prayer. I pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.